seconds to play in Super Bowl 34.
McNair drops, throws right side for Dyson. He dives for the end zone. He came up 1 yard short.
Down the middle, James, the lateral to the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that?
As Boone hits it to deep left, that might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Boise State for the win. They hand it off to Johnson. Boise State has won the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Can you believe it?
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in 2 seconds.
They're going to kick the field goal. It'll be Jason to Gingell out of the hole to Mesko. Good snap. Good hold. And the kick is blocked. Appalachian State has stunned the college football world.
Last time on Sports Out the Wazoo.
Joining us now on Sports Out the Wazoo is former Carolina Hurricane and analyst for CBC Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL Network, Kevin Weeks.
There's a lot to be excited about as a hockey fan, a former player, and an analyst. You know, there's a lot for me to be excited about for Team USA Hockey.
To be honest, it wasn't one of those things where, man, that really uplifts me to watch us throw down on a country that can't even compare to us in a sport. Things that translate to the NFL. Does the drill itself? No, but the fundamentals behind the drill do. And so that's what people are looking for.
The only part I hate, really, is that some people just get too hung up on those stats.
Oh, Wilt Chamberlain became the first NBA player to score 30,000 points.
He also became the first NBA player to score 30,000 women.
Yeah.
No.
And welcome to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located across from the Turchin Center. 265-1886 is the number for Capone's. Chris, Brandon, Blake, and Justin. We got plenty to talk about. We got some NCAA talk, talking about ASU getting ready for the SoCon tourney, women's and men's basketball. Also a lot of NFL talk. Where do we think Julius Peppers will go? What about these new overtime rules that are being proposed? And a little NBA talk. We'll kind of consider what we feel is going to happen with the Bobcats.
It's actually, I was surprised because I was kind of looking into it yesterday off the cuff because it intrigued me. And there's a lot of games left to be played, 24 games left in the regular season. But when you look at it, really, it's about three or four teams playing for about two spots. Like the top six teams, I think, in the East are settled.
Yeah, there's already locks there.
I mean, Toronto and Chicago, I think, are going to make the playoffs. It's between like the Miami Heat, Milwaukee Bucks, and Charlotte Bobcats. Yeah. And then after that, it's everybody else is already basically out of it. So
That's what I'm saying. It's still an open window, but, you know.
It's a game of musical chairs at this point.
Yeah, everybody's probably going to be. I imagine they're probably going to be trading spaces here every now and then. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Another game of musical chairs going on. This one, higher stakes, a lot more fun. The NCAA tournament, NCAA college basketball, obviously. This is we've been talking about the past couple weeks. Day by day, it seems to shift, you know, who's a lock, who's not, all that sort of stuff. One thing here in Boone that we know, if we want to get in, we got to win the conference tournament, and that's going to start Saturday night. There was some news coming out of the conference tournament's office down in Spartanburg today, and that was that, drum roll, our very own Donald Sims did not win Southern Conference Player of the Year. And I tell you what, I wasn't shocked that Donald didn't win. I was shocked at who won.
It's not Andrew Goudlock, and it's not Donald Sims, who we thought, okay.
That was the lock. That's the discussion we had.
There's no argument. It was Andrew Goudlock or Donald Sims. Yeah. It was one of those two. It was probably Andrew Goudlock.
But who wins it?
Yeah, but who wins it other than Walford's now I'm losing
Noah Dahlman.
Noah Dahlman.
Yeah.
And you know what? Don't put it past Noah Dahlman because he had a good year. Obviously, Wofford finished first in the SoCon. Yep. They beat College of Charleston. They earned their keep. But either way, he averaged 17.4 points per game and shot about 59% or something like that. 59.2%. So
pulled down six boards a game. I mean, he filled up the stat sheet.
Yeah, he definitely was kind of a little bit of a stats hog if you must. But at the same time, it wasn't like he was just flashy or out there.
He didn't take over games.
It shouldn't come down to him. I mean, like you said, Chris, off air, he was the best player for the best team. But
and I think that's what it comes down to, honestly.
Yeah, but at the same point, if you're looking at player of the year, I don't think you can make that comparison because I mean that would be like giving for last year maybe giving Kobe Bryant the award just because he played on the Lakers and they had one of the best records.
Well, you see, that's the difference I think fundamentally between an MVP and a player of the year. Player of the year tells me it's the player of the year, the best player. It has nothing, no bearing. I mean, because you shouldn't know it. It shouldn't always come down to that. And I guess. maybe I could understand where they got Noah Dahlman from, because Noah Dahlman really didn't have any holes in his game. I mean, once again, he wasn't a dominant player, but he didn't make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. He was fundamentally sound. He did all the little things you would ask. He was a good defender, pulled down boards. And here's where you, and here's where I guess you could see where maybe this is where Gadelock and Sims didn't win. Sims, I've talked about it for weeks now, and I think it is a huge issue, their turnover problem. I know he's not a true point guard in the terms of the of what we normally define as a point guard, but when you have an 0.87 assist to turnover ratio, you're turning the ball over more than you're assisting. That's not good.
See, yeah, but my problem still with, I don't know, with the voting or whatever, how they kind of categorized these players and said, okay, this is where we put them on. You know, I mean, obviously they had to have a point system or some, a checklist of some sort, but you take Noah Dahlman, sure, if you take him away from that Wofford team, they're a completely different
team.
They
don't win the conference, no.
They don't win the conference, but they're still a very solid team. They still have a great coach and Coach Mike Young, who won a Coach of the Year as well. But if you take Donald Sims away, and maybe even Andrew Gadelock, but definitely if you take Donald Sims away from ASU, we're nowhere close to where we are now. We don't have 20 wins at all. We might be lucky to have 15. We probably take – I mean, you take Donald Sims away, you probably take maybe – 5, 6, 7, 8 games away during the season.
I agree with that, but once again, I think you got to weigh that. And I was skeptical of the turnover thing, and I think at the end of the day that hurt him. I will say this. I thought he was going to overcome that. I thought being number one, shooting 95% at the free throw stripe, I thought that helped. The other situation in that is, okay, you can shoot very highly from the free throw line, but do you get to the free throw line a lot? That's another issue. I mean, yeah, you can shoot, and he gets there
a
fair amount.
Yeah. Compared to the other guys that are up there at the top with him nationally, he gets there about twice as many times as they do.
It'd be another thing, I think, too, though, if he averaged, like, let's say he averaged 8 or 9 free throw attempts a game, then you're really, that's changing a game with your 95. And he didn't do that. He got to the line fair amount, but it wasn't that stark of a difference there. And I think, once again, I think the turnover thing, you got to be a fundamentally sound basketball player. I don't care if you don't if you average one assist a game, just make sure you're not turning the ball over 2 and 3 times with that one assist. Yeah. And I think Donald, we talked about it during the broadcast, Brandon. There was I think it was the game, I think it might have been Thursday night of last week against Chattanooga, and there were a couple occasions where Donald was handling the ball, and there were a couple situations where I would have liked to seen Donald make another play, and I still see that growth, and that's what's exciting about it, because I know Donald can get better as an all-around point guard, but there was a situation where he was running the floor with Kellen Brand, 2-on-1 situation, and he took a difficult shot himself. He ended up taking a finger roll layup when all he had to do was make the easy bounce pass, and that's the sort of situation, look, I know you can convert on that opportunity, but make the easy pass. You're the point guard. Pass it to your wide-open teammate for an easy two.
It's nothing that can be easily fixed. Surprised. I'm surprised that Buzz hasn't – I don't know if it's Buzz hasn't seen it yet or hasn't worked on it with him yet, or just has said, okay, this kid can throw 35 points out.
I think people are generally okay with the role that he plays.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he could make an easy tweak, because I think a lot of times he's just making bad passes, he's forcing stuff, or he's making lazy passes. That's all about concentration and practice and knowing where your teammates are going or being that floor director. And that's why I don't think in the traditional sense of a point guard, he's not the floor general out there. He's not dictating the offense. Ryan Abraham's more of that guy. Even Kellen Brand to some extent.
Kellen dished out 8 assists on Saturday.
Kellen Brand has become more of that floor general type. So I think Donald Sims has got to it can be easily fixed, but he's got to come around to that. He's just making silly mistakes. And then when it comes to the fact that when like you said, Chris, when he has a 2-on-1 with Kellen, instead of trying to give it up and do a little give and go, he's just becoming a little too selfish on that, and then trying to put it up himself.
Yeah, and once again, there was nothing wrong with it, because it wasn't an easy shot, but it was a shot that he could make, and he did a great job of converting. But that's a situation where, okay, you have two plays. What do coaches always say? Keep it stupid simple. And that's a situation where he could have kept it stupid simple, make an easy bounce pass, and that would have been an easy 2-point bucket for Kellen Brand instead of himself. This is a situation, once again, I understand what happened here. I understand the best team, the best guy, and the best team. That's probably what happened.
That goes back to the conversation you started earlier. There's a difference in player of the year and MVP. That discussion comes up every year in every sport. Is are you going to give it to the best player on the best team or the best player in general? And
well, if you're Andrew Gadelock, though, how do you look at this? Because, I mean, this is a guy that was competing with Donald Sims for the points per game lead, leading the SoCon in scoring. This is a guy that had Gadelock, College of Charleston second place. They barely lost out to Wofford. They were the premier team. They beat Carolina back when they were good during the first half of the season.
He
had the best team at one point. Second best team just barely.
My thinking is with Gadelock, it hurt him that he didn't win his own division even, let alone the whole conference. I think think that hurt him as a team. It shouldn't, but that I think it did. And the other side of that is I think it also hurts him, and this shouldn't be his problem, but I think it hurts him that he generally has more talent around him than Noah Dahlman does and that Donald Sim does. So I think in that situation, Andrew Gadlock might have gotten hurt by the fact that, yes, he was the best player on his team, and yes, he probably was one of the best two best players in the conference, but when you also have better talent around you, it also, I guess people can say, oh, look, well, it's like if Magic Johnson playing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No. You know, would Magic have done that stuff, all the numbers he put up, if he didn't play with Kareem? I mean, he probably would have, but it just changes the whole argument, and that's the way people
still
look at it differently.
Still can't get past the fact that it's just, it's surprising to see that, you know, neither Gadlock or Sims were able to pick up that award. I mean, I don't think if you asked any of us in this room before the voting was officially in that Dahlman would have been the winner.
Obviously not. We had a discussion about who was going to be between Gadlock and Sims.
I mean, he was definitely the third place candidate. He was the dark horse, but I mean, I didn't think he had a chance.
They were two clear cut favorites in this.
I agree. The other interesting thing, I guess, obviously, is the SoCon tournament. I'm heading back down to Charlotte on Saturday, so I'll be there to catch the game on Saturday. It's 7:00 at Bojangles Coliseum. If the Apps were to win, that's when the conference tournament switches to Time Warner Cable Arena. So don't get caught
where
up
the big boys play.
Yeah, don't head over to Bobcats Arena thinking on Saturday.
Yeah, where's my appies?
So 7:00, Bojangles Coliseum. I think tickets are $25, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a book of tickets for the entire weekend is $75 to any game you want, which I think is a remarkable deal, because if you attend three games, you're already there. And if you think about it, you plan on attending three games anyway, because if the Apps play all
three, you're going to be there,
it pays for itself. And the women are going to be there as well.
Yeah, plus there's going to be great games. Not only do the women, are there going to be some great matchups
there. Both teams
have
a bye.
But yeah, both teams have a bye. And then also, I mean, you want to see some of these little lower-level matchups. I mean, case in point, Davidson-Elon the other day, that double overtime thriller.
Crazy finish.
And that's what's going to happen in the SoCon tournament. You're going to get some of these teams that the records aren't great, so they're going to have lower seedings or whatever, they're going to be clashing. But these are teams that still have talent. Even though they're the doormats of the SoCon right now, they have something to prove, and they still have the talent on these teams to be able to win games and compete with the big boys. So I think you're going to see some great quality games in the SoCon tournament, unlike in previous years where if ASU was 13-18 last year, that they're going to kind of bow out early. Yeah. And in years past where teams were either good or they're bad, there's no in-between.
The game to look at is Friday night, Citadel-Sanford, 4 from the South and Citadel 5 from the North, and Sanford taking on. We play the winner of that game.
We play the Bulldogs one way
or the
other.
That's right. Yeah, you can't go wrong. You're going to play Bulldogs if you want to take a bet on that one. Here's my question.
I already bet.
Yeah. I got a question for both of you guys.
Can't believe I fell for that one, Brian.
Who do you think all four of the top teams – with the byes make it? To me, they do. And then who do you think is going to be in the finals? Give me a finals prediction and who wins it all.
See, I almost want to say that there's going to be one that's going to fall. There's got to be one that's going to fall.
You think so?
I think so. It's just something my gut says there's going to be one that's going to fall. I'm hoping that's not
Western.
ASU. I'm praying, that's Western, first of all. And then if not, actually, I would rather almost College of Charleston fall.
It would be better for us.
See, Wofford's the team.
Road.
We beat them once. I don't want to play them again.
Wofford is the team.
I think we could beat them if we give them a second crack at it.
Yeah, I think we can beat College of Charleston. It'll be tough trying to beat Western for a third time. But
this is my
match up well against them. That's the problem for the Catamounts. If you're going up against ASU, it's all a game of matchups, and that's the reason Chattanooga was kind of able to beat ASU earlier on in the season. We didn't have our feet underneath us, and I'm not trying to get excuses, but we have the team that we feel can win now. We have the team that's been winning, I think you saw that in the Chattanooga game on Thursday that ASU now matches up better against almost every team. They can stand toe-to-toe with anybody.
This is the thing I like. We're winning. We're on a win streak. We've won 8 of 9. And people still don't believe in us, really. I mean, honestly, App isn't the favorite by any means. Wofford and College of Charleston are the two teams that people think are going to come out, and that's rightfully so.
Yeah, because the South was so strong this year, and they're top two teams from the
South. Even Davidson is a team that's won. They've gotten hot. They've won, I think, seven out of their last ten. So they're a young team.
Win over Elon.
And they're at home. I mean, that's another situation. They're technically the host school in this situation, so that'll be interesting. I think what's going to happen is all four teams advance. One and two from the North and one and two from the South, and I think it's going to be a final of ASU and Western. I think Western got their wake-up call. I think they're a senior-laden team. They've got as much talent as anybody in the conference.
They always have had that talent, too.
Larry Hunter's a smart coach, and I think I watched the game against Chattanooga over the weekend, and they looked like a much better team. They were playing Western basketball, and I know they were at home, so that helps, and it was senior day and all that good stuff. But I think what we saw earlier in the year, maybe even just a month ago, where Western started to stumble and they started to lose some traction, I think that's over. I think Western's got – and now they know. They can't get in as an at-large bid anymore. Yeah. They got to win or go home. Same thing for ASU. So I think it's going to be a Western-ASU final, and boy, would that be fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, it would be a great rivalry. But either way, when you know, kind of touching on that, you got to figure that once you come into this, I mean, most of the teams have had anywhere between 5 and 7 days off. ASU's going to have had 7 days off. So there a lot of rest. You can settle on the rest argument. You can settle on the rest argument. Either way, I would say that it only benefits ASU right now, even though they had the momentum. I think that there's a lot of legs out there that are tired. Yeah. And
college
players. You could tell Donald Sims when he came off the bench for senior day on Saturday. He lit it up. It was just the act of just getting a little bit more rest in there, especially playing all these games back-to-back.
College players are different than professional players, and I never buy into the fatigue factor in any professional level. I hate when people talk about that, hate when I bring it up, because it's not true. They're the best-conditioned athletes in the world. College players, it is true. And so for college players to be playing three games in 4 days or 4 games in 5 days, that sort of situation, that wears down college players, not just physically but mentally, and they can't always get up and they can't always get prepared. So I agree with you. I think the bye helps. I would never say it hurts at this level.
Yeah, you know what? And I have to say that, too, that if you're going into this game, you got to figure that all these records, you start off basically 0-0. This is your whole season right here. Yeah, you played a full regular season slate, but this is for everything.
Yeah,
I mean, you win three games if you're one of those lower seeds, and suddenly you're in the NCAA tournament. Chattanooga did. I mean, look at how inconsistent Chattanooga was last year. Sure, they had plenty of seniors, a lot of great talent, but I think they were 18-19 overall on the year. They went into that SoCon tournament looking like a nobody, and they come out victorious and get an NCAA tournament berth.
Yeah, and every year we have a conversation at the end of the NFL year. Team locks it up in week 12. What are you going to do the rest of the year? And all that kind of stuff. And there are people on both sides of that argument, but I really don't think there's any benefit to playing in the first game here, especially when you got to play four days in a row or 5 days in a row to win.
I completely agree. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it is wide open. I could see a team like Samford, because of the type of offense they play, throwing fits. I could see a team like Samford or Greensboro or Chattanooga or Elon or Davidson winning one game and causing fits.
Yeah, I think Davidson is one of those X factors. And I think there's maybe one or two others. Chattanooga with their athleticism.
Elon's
maybe
playing better defense.
Maybe an Elon team. I think you got to have a team that plays pretty good defense but has a good offense to be able to compete with these
powers. And Samford's one of those teams. I think with the Princeton offense they run, they play a very conservative style defense. They frustrate teams. And if they get you out of your zone, and that's another interesting matchup. I mean, ASU is used to it. So I think for ASU, you got to hope that you play Samford, because it wouldn't be a shock to your culture. We haven't seen the Citadel in a while. And Ed Conroy's a good coach. He's had
Citadel,
them playing good basketball.
The Citadel, I think, is a very underrated
really
team
just
right
just playing
now.
A lot better basketball right now in general as opposed to when
entering
conference
play. That's why I said
play.
I think there's going to be an X factor. There's going to be at least one team in there that's going to beat the big four right now out. Yeah. But either way, the difference between this ASU squad and past ASU squads, and I mean this nothing against the previous coaching staff or anything along those lines or the players, but there's more focus. Yeah. And this team is more focused. Buzz Peterson has them focused and keyed in on a goal. I remember hearing stories my freshman and sophomore years when we won 25 games, and then when we had, I think it was like an 18-win season a couple years back. And you know, we were kind of favorites. We were one of the better teams in the SoCon still both those years. And we're favorites to win SoCon tournament, maybe even make the NCAA tournament. And there's guys, there's stories about guys just in hot tubs like an hour, 2 hours before the game, goofing off with cheerleaders and just all these,
well,
all these little stories that kind of started to leak out, and it was just a lack of focus. Players didn't care that much. It wasn't important to them.
I told you this the other day on the broadcast, and I think that there is some truth to this. I think that team, when you go back to the 06-07 season, that team was too good for its own good. And sometimes you get so good, and that team was senior-laden. They had tons of good role players, some guys that are on this team right now, and Kellen Brand and Ryan Abraham. Eddie Bermudez was another one of those guys. But when you look at that starting five, they were so senior-laden, they were so talented, they played such great, smart basketball that Coach Fancher didn't have to go and talk to them and say, hey, guys, this is what you need to work on. You need to get better at fixing this. You need to stop turning the ball over. You need to shoot better from threes. They did almost everything very well. And so I think what happens is you get into this mindset of, okay, we're okay.
Fancher didn't really want to get involved and mess anything up there.
No,
either.
And I think what happens is
you don't want to tweak anything. Yeah, you know, don't fix it.
But then that led to a lack of discipline.
Yeah, when you look to this year's team, when you aren't as good and you know you have to get better, you know you have to improve to have a chance at beating teams and making a run into the tournament, you have to be focused. You have no other option but to be focused or you won't win. And I think that's the difference. It's that dichotomy there. And it was almost a blessing that this team isn't as talented and isn't as good from the get-go.
Just to build on next year.
Well, and we always go back to that King College game. That's the only loss. That was where the loss happened, basically. Yeah. And then we rolled off eight of the last nine wins. The only loss coming against College of Charleston. But either way, that kind of helped wake us up a little bit. And on top of that, I think Buzz Peterson, really, it doesn't seem like if you'd gone back to the beginning of the year, especially when this team struggled after the King College game, he had said, hey, this, it's just like five contractors out there on their own game. He didn't really know this team. He didn't understand this team. They didn't understand him. They didn't understand what he was trying to preach to them. He understands this team now. He knows what buttons to push. He knows who to push. He knows, okay, give this guy a cold meal and take the jersey off his back. This is going to switch some things around and really stir the pot.
Yeah, really call out a lot of players.
Yeah, and he knows, and I think he has that halftime speech in him, because I think you might just see an ASU squad go out there and get down at halftime in the SoCon tournament, and where old ASU squads would just fold and say, okay, that wraps up the season for us. This squad, I think Buzz has got him going in the right direction.
Fight.
He's gonna bring the fight out in him. Say, hey, listen, we had a goal to get to the NCAA tournament. Yeah. We're getting there one way or the other. I don't care if I have to carry you on my back and start playing horse out there with you like Michael Jordan and Gerald Henderson.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, Friday, ASU men and women both don't play. They have byes, but Saturday they will start the action. And you can check them out at Bojangles Coliseum. If you want information, go ASU.com. If I am correct, you can go and get a ticket, a bus ride, and a ticket to the game and back for $25 for a day. It's an unbelievable event.
I forget. I don't know if it's the alumni or somebody's putting that offer on, but either way, I got the email.
So definitely go and check that out toward the goasu.com.
Electronically.
You can check out more information on that. Go down to Charlotte, cheer on the apps. Hopefully they can make some noise in the conference tournament. We're going to take a break. We get back, we'll continue talking NCAA action just a little bit before we get into some NFL. The national championship game is moving. We'll be talking about that. What does that mean for ASU?
It means no Kid Brewer West.
That's exactly right.
Maybe it's Deep West.
And then also another
Kid Brewer farther west.
Another school rushing the court last night. We'll be talking about that.
For winning the North?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll be talking about that. More sports out the wazoo. It's coming back right here, 90.5 WASU, WASURocks.com.
You're listening to Sports Out the Wazoo. The phone lines are open, 828-264-4905.
Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's. Located across from the Turchin Center, 265-1886. And, before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about, the championship game for the juniors, if you will.
That's what it's turned into this year.
Yeah, that's, that
putting
really
it on the same day as the Cotton Bowl.
And you know what? I don't know what Frisco had up their sleeve. I know they had a pizza sponsor, which I forget who it was.
Ooh.
It was Domino's
Pizza Hut owns the stadium.
Yeah, Pizza Hut owns
Pizza Hut Park.
I guess maybe they're going to give out some Pizza Hut.
It's an MLS franchise that plays there. The Dallas, whatever they are, plays in Frisco.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Frisco is obviously going to be warm. And on top of that, it's a beautiful stadium. Very open. It's a great stadium to have an FCS championship game. But I just thought that Chattanooga was just a perfect little place. There's so many teams that play in FCS football on the East Coast, and so many teams that with Chattanooga, it was kind of almost not perfectly middle, but it's about as perfect as you can get with the facilities being great. And now you move all the way over to Texas, and now that takes – I mean, if you have this year's championship game, even Montana has a far drive, fly, whatever. Villanova,
here's my thing. I'm good with the move. I actually like it, and I'll tell you this for this reason. I hope it's not a permanent move. The one thing is, if you look to the best successful college events, let's use the College World Series for instance. It's great that you're in Rosenblatt Stadium, you're in Omaha every year because it's
anymore.
There. It's a permanent event. You know it's going
it's
to
moving from Rosenblatt. This
well,
year.
Yeah,
yeah, but
in historically,
the history, yeah.
You can choose. You have that venue. You can build to make that venue. You can spend a little bit incrementally if you own that venue to make it better. And so that's the one thing I'd eventually like to see that happen for the FCS. Choose a venue, stay there, build it, and continue to make it better. The problem is with Chattanooga, they had some great ticket sales recently. recently when ASU was there. But if ASU wasn't there, nobody went. And so that's the one issue I have with it. And the other fact of the matter is they had a lot of issues with their facility. Sound system, one of the worst in the country, period. Their turf tore up in 04, I think it was, or 05, the year before ASU went there. It was in terrible condition. Bathrooms are in terrible shape over there. There was not enough facilities for people to use the restroom. So when you look at it, yes, did they fill up the venue? They did because it was so close. You could have had that game.
It certainly worked out well for us.
Yeah, you could have had the game in Charlotte, and a lot of people would have gone to the event.
But at the same time, being in Frisco, how many teams are going to have a lot of fans?
No, exactly. But this is my point is, though, Brandon, I'll say this once again. Nobody goes to the game unless it's ASU anyway. So
it's certainly neutral.
No, it is. It's certainly more neutral, but nobody was going to go. You saw the game this year. Villanova is actually not that far from Chattanooga, and they had next to nobody there. I mean, that's the sort of situation. Attendance to me isn't the issue. I think we got to look at this not from our personal fan perspective and say, I'd like to go there because it's only a 6-hour drive. It's not that much money for me. Yeah, that's great. But the NCAA has to choose what's in the best interest for the NCAA, and that's putting on the best fan experience and having the best game possible. And Frisco, they've come out and said, look, that's what we want to do. It's not about a game. It's not about filling seats necessarily. We want to have the best fan experience. And when you talk about going to bowl games, and I know it's a little different, but when you talk about going to bowl games, people always say, man, they had tons of fan events. They had all these get-togethers. They had all this and that. And that's what it's about. And I think Frisco, oddly enough, I think they're going to do that. And Chattanooga, I feel sorry for you guys because you guys said that you did everything you asked for, that the NCAA asked for you guys. But at the same time, maybe this will be your wake-up call. Maybe you realize, wait, our sound system isn't the best. We don't have enough bathrooms. Maybe we do need to have more lodging downtown. And they'll fix themselves, and maybe 3 years down the road, they can host the game again.
Yeah, I mean, it's great points, but it just seems to me that either way, you're going to lose a little bit of that fan experience if there's not enough fans to actually get somebody rowdy and say, hey,
but Chattanooga's not centrally located for the largest majority of FCS Nation.
Yeah, but
there's tons
I think
of teams on the West Coast. There's tons of teams in the middle of the country.
You got to find somewhere in the Midwest or something. Yeah, it's very Eastern.
But this is my problem. You can't prognosticate. You can't say, well, historically, ASU has gone to the championship game. Historically, this team has gone. So we got to put the game close to their
size. No, it's just a matter of better teams are on the East.
Yeah.
You can't prognosticate that way. Do you think the NCAA does that for basketball? You think they say,
no, but it's college. It's big-time college basketball.
No, but I'm talking not for Final Four. I'm talking regional sites. You can't do that. I mean, the way it works is you choose who's going to put on the best fan experience, and the traveling will take care of itself. Because I tell you what, if I had the opportunity, if I had the extra money, I'm going to go to Frisco. The thing is, if I go there and it's a great fan experience, I'm going to come back, and I think that's what they're banking on.
There are strong teams all around the country in college basketball, though. There's pretty much, it's the East Coast
Montana. No.
I just think Frisco, for whatever, 3-4 years, whatever, I think it's going to be a little bit of a flop. Don't get me wrong. I think the stadium and everything will work out better. I would like to go there. I mean,
it's the most populous state in the country.
Yeah, but
so it can't be a flop.
Either way, but
people are going to go to the game.
You know what? But that's what they were tooting their horns when it got moved to Chattanooga as well. I just don't think for the better of the game, for the future of FCS football, if you're really going to try to make this a spectacle and say, hey, look, this, you know, if you're going to try to make this
nowhere.
Big,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying Chattanooga was perfect. I mean, it was great for us because it was close to us. We played in SoCon.
That's what I'm saying. What's the benefits outside of being close to most? What's the benefit outside of being close to a lot of the schools on the Eastern
Coast? You got to build a crowd, though. I mean, think if the NCAA tournament, think about it this way. If the NCAA tournament had games in, you know, Washington and nobody was showing up, but it had great venues, people wouldn't want to keep going back to Washington.
But Frisco, it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's centrally located. And honestly, people are talking about expenses. Look, you 6-hour drive from here, that's a lot of gas money.
If you share the day with the Cotton Bowl, though, that's going to take a lot away.
Okay, but my problem is this. Okay, make a legitimate argument other than attendance, and I don't think that's going to be as huge issue as people are making it out to be. What's the reason? Why is it a bad host site? I mean, what's wrong with it? There's not a bad excuse other than
I'm not saying it's a beautiful place, but I'm just saying attendance is a big thing because even when it was at Chattanooga,
you guys are acting like four people are going to show up. I guarantee you the place will be sold out this year. I guarantee you. It's in Texas. It's a football state, the most crazy football state in the country.
I don't know.
But I don't think that they're going to go pay to go watch Villanova and JMU play.
If there's not enough interest for those fans to go there, then they've got to build
as much
the
as they love
something.
The
they've
sport.
They've
got to have some interest.
They're not just going to go see a random game. Let's fill the place.
But once again, this is my problem. People are assuming that The Southland Conference, who are the ones who actually won the bid, and Pizza Hut Park, who are working with the Southland Conference, that they just threw a bid together and they had more money. The NCAA is smart. There's a lot of due diligence that went into it. They know Chattanooga. They knew what they had in Frisco. And my issue is this. They knew what they were doing, and they saw multiple presentations. I have a hard time believing on a whim they would just do this if they didn't believe that there would be attendance. Because like you said, I agree with you guys. Attendance is number one. Attendance will be there. There's no way they would make this decision if they didn't believe people would attend the game. And I'll say this. I think more people will be at this year's game in 2011 than were at last year's game in Chattanooga.
It'll be the first one. I'm sure that's a big draw to just be the first
but once,
one. But
once again, I say once the fan experience, I guarantee you, will be better. And once people go they're going
to
come back.
I'm just saying. I have anything against Frisco. I just think that they've got to find a better venue to where it'll cater to more of these teams, or where it can be more centrally located.
It is centrally located. It's in the middle of the country.
Yeah, but it's Chattanooga.
It's so far away from so many national powers.
There's so many
national. The CAA, the SoCon, they're all on the East Coast.
Okay, Blake, you don't understand FCS football if you don't realize that the Great West Conference, when you have a team like Cal Poly, who's a power nationally, you think it's closer to them to go to Chattanooga than it is to go to Texas?
No, but there are fewer teams like that out there.
Stephen F. Austin, a power in Texas. They live in Texas. There's powers all across the country. It's not just in two conferences. They're all across the country.
But there are one team out there in those conferences that dominate. You've got the whole CAA, the whole
SoCon. At the top 25 in the FCS last year. They're all
dominated
across the country.
CAA.
It's not dominant. There's five. Okay, there's mostly teams
more than
any
conference.
Either way, it's going to be they're going to have to find one way or the other to bring attendance in to make this a popular sport. Because right now, the trend has been, unless ASU's been in it, the trend's been that nobody's really showing up to these games. And if you're going to, for the future of FCS championship football, the reason they're kind of putting this, they're moving it back to kind of compete with the Cotton Bowl. It's not to necessarily compete, but it's to show, hey, we've got a big game too here at the lower level. If you're going to do that, you got to have fans. You got to have publicity. I'm saying overall, they've got to do a better job publicizing
finding
something.
I agree with you, but that's why, once again, I think Frisco did that. That was part of their package. Okay. I think
if they can do it, then that's going to be awesome.
I just don't understand a lot of the doubt, because I think in a lot of the eyes of our fans, why we love this event so much is because it's so close to us. It had nothing to do with the experience.
I've always said Chattanooga's had awful PA system. I mean, the sound system there has been awful. I'm not saying that's the perfect venue. Sure, for an ASU perspective, it's closer to us. It's great. We've seen games there before. But either way, I just think I want what's best for the whole FCS, community. I don't want what's best for ASU or best for just for Chattanooga or anything like that, or Frisco for that matter. I just want what's best to get as many fans as possible, because when I'm flipping through ESPN, which hopefully they'll be having it on there.
Yeah.
When I'm flipping through ESPN, I want to be able to see that game and be like, FCS championship game. This is a great game, and you can really feel the environment, because in bowl games, you kind of lose that creativity. The drive to actually watch some of these games, because some of them are just like the poinsettia flower and roses bowl
I think separating the event from a school too. I think separating it from an FCS school will help. I think this is all about getting a view from a wide-eyed lens.
Yeah,
I think
that's a better call.
This is giving it some context and real quickly, just some other teams. I mean, Southern Illinois. Let's look here. Stephen F. Austin, South Dakota State, McNeese, Eastern Washington, Prairie View, Jacksonville State, Weber State, Northern Iowa, Eastern Illinois, Florida A&M, Lafayette, Texas State, Montana State. Let's look else here. UC Davis, Illinois State, Northern Arizona, Grambling.
Let's go to the Midwest.
But what I'm saying is these are all teams that were ranked or received votes.
I understand.
There's powers all across the country. I think sometimes we get so skewed. People talk about it in sports, the East Coast bias. There's a real East Coast bias, and I think this is going to see, all right, look, there's more to the FCS nation than just the CAA and
those
just the Southern Conference. You don't just pander to those conferences is what I'm saying. There's depth across the FCS.
We'll see how it shakes out, too. Because, if this doesn't work out, then you go back to the drawing board.
I think at some point you've got to step out if you're talking about expanding the FCS. And I think this is what it's about. So it'll be interesting.
It just may have been a better venue to expand it where a lot of those teams were that you just listened, and maybe a Midwest go to Minnesota or somewhere.
No, I agree. My point is it's centrally located. You're going to have to get on a plane anyway. Most schools have to fly anyway.
I'm not going to Frisco.
What's the difference? I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about the schools themselves. Most schools, what's the difference between hour flying and
at the same
flying?
Time, you got to look at both ends of the spectrum, too, because you can't just look at a team. Either way, teams have got to travel one way or the other. And you know what? If it's for a championship game, you go wherever you go.
Yeah, and you make
if you go to a bowl game, Wake Forest, back at like 10 years ago, had to go to the Honolulu Bowl. I mean, sure, they didn't want to fly I don't know, what, 3,000-4,000 miles?
But it makes an event.
But, yeah, it makes an event. They sure as heck wanted to go to Hawaii. Yeah,
this
why
is
not?
Frisco.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to travel either way. It's
Frisco
a national
is
championship
a suburb
game.
Of a suburb. That should be noted.
Awesome.
I agree with that. But this park is nice. It's one of the best facilities, small facilities in all the country. It's nicer than Finley Stadium. I will agree with I will say that. So, and Finley Stadium is nice, but, once again, it has issues. So, yeah. It's here for 3 years. It starts this year. We'll see how it lasts. I agree. There are some gives and takes. I agree that Chattanooga had some advantages. I like that it was more of a metropolitan area than Frisco, but it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. The other interesting thing, I guess we'll shift gears to the NFL real quick. Obviously, free agent tenders were due by this afternoon. The Panthers have started placing some tenders on some of their players. Matt Moore just got tendered to a first and third round tender, meaning if somebody wants to sign him, they have
to
give up
a king's ransom. It's not going
to
happen.
And it's very interesting, some of the stuff that's going on. You get to see some real value. This gives you an indication of what teams think of their guys.
You kind of clearly see, okay, who's going to be number one on this team.
If Richard Marshall is up for tender, if he got tendered with a third round pick, you'd say they obviously don't think too highly of Richard Marshall. That's not going to happen. He's probably going to get at least a first. But the interesting thing, obviously, is Peppers was let go. And talk is coming out he's going to the Bears, or the Bears are heavily pursuing
him. Going after
the Redskins were rumored just earlier this week.
They've always got an open checkbook.
That's where
Where does he go?
Don Banks put out an article today on Sports Illustrated that did this with all the top or his top 10 free agents, and he had Peppers. He said he will go to Washington. He thinks he should go to New England.
You see, I think the opposite. I think he should. New England. Okay.
Yeah.
I think he should go to Washington because I think he would fit in there. He'll get to be an outside linebacker, play with Mike Shanahan, all that good stuff that he's always dreamed of. He's probably licking his chops.
Make a ton
of money. The other odd thing is I think the Chicago thing is overblown, and it's funny to see Chicago rumored to be going after so many free agents because they have no draft picks. And so they have to go after these guys, and if they don't get them, their season is done before it already started.
And you know what they have to compete with? The Minnesota Vikings, which even though Brett Favre, he could come back, he couldn't, whatever, and they still have an influx of talent there. Either way, you got the Vikings in front of you, and the Bears were some people's picks to win the division. Didn't happen. They don't look like a premier
team
right now.
They're an old team.
Very old team. Defensively, they've done nothing over the years. It's kind of
Orlando Pace go the other day.
It reminds you
third
almost
team in 30 years.
Doesn't it almost remind you a little bit of what happened to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after they won the Super Bowl? They kind of got complacent. They're like, oh, we have these old guys. No need to kind of get in fresh new young legs. And Chicago slowly but surely
started drafting more complimentary players instead.
You know what? That's the funny thing about this whole NFL world is you see the dichotomy in how teams approach things. Mm-hmm. The Panthers are a team that they're going to try and constantly be young. They're constantly injecting a young core of talent into their team, and that's what we saw. Okay, Peppers, you've reached 30. We made you an offer. It was reported today, actually, that offer was $14 million a year, and he thought he could get more elsewhere. I'd be surprised unless Washington.
Washington's a wild card.
That's the only one I think would pay more than 14. But this is the situation
a lot about his motives too, because if he goes to New England, it's for a championship.
What did I say? I said if the Panthers, I think the Panthers, what they need to do if they're going to make an offer, it has to be $15 million or less. And there's no way I'd go over $15 million. And that $14 million, I think that's very reasonable for a guy saying, "Hey, we'll sign you up long term, $14 million a year."
No, I agree with you. The interesting thing is, I think if you look at a team like Chicago, maybe Tampa a few years ago, Washington, they're always building through free agency and trades. And I've always maintained in any sport, and I think this holds true, you build through the draft, you develop your own talent. You then augment that talent with trades and free agency. And I'm not talking about, all right, signing a couple guys.
You'll build a team through free agency.
One or two guys very selectively through trades and free agency.
Yeah, look, the Raiders and the Redskins have been the two biggest teams probably that have built through the free agency. Look at where, look at where that's got them. Hey, the Yankees in baseball did that for a matter of years.
And we talked about that in the fall. Sure enough, that
really hurt that team until they turned it around.
Blake, you're a Cowboys fan. Dallas hasn't been good until recently when Bill Parcells came back and he injected young talent into the team.
Yeah, we went through that phase where we did the same thing that you were talking about earlier with Tampa Bay, where you're drafting more complimentary players because you've got Troy, you've got Emmett, you've got Michael Irvin out of
receiver. You constantly have to be looking down the road.
Exactly. You start drafting people that just fit into your system right now instead of people that are going to be future stars, and we ran into a problem with, it felt like 15, 5, and 11.
No, I agree.
I think Washington's going to run into a big problem. Now, I honestly think that's where Julius Peppers is going to go. I think he'll kind of price himself a little bit out of Chicago.
I think he'll do it just out of pride because he said, I can get more money somewhere else.
I think he'll go to Washington, and he might wind up on one of those SI articles of most overpaid, where he just disappears.
I think he's going to be one of those guys if he goes to Washington. I think it's a good fit for him because that's what he wants. But in terms of what he's going to do and produce, I think he's going to – all of a sudden he'll just go down the hill.
Listen,
I don't think that that's a good fit from a scheme perspective.
There's a little bit of give and take. And obviously you can have – you can have 20 sacks in a season. People are going to look at you, but you also got to have a little bit of good team play, because otherwise it's looking like you're selfish, or you're there for the money, or you're there for yourself. And really, he's just going to go down with that sinking ship right now, because Washington's going nowhere quick.
The only reason he would go to Washington is for money.
And people are going to look at it as, okay, now we have Julius Peppers. If they do get him, this is what's going to help us get us over the hurdle. And eventually, it's not.
Every free agent.
It with every free agent. And eventually, it's just going to be, okay, we have all these overpriced talent, all these positions that we're going nowhere, and that's where Julius Peppers is going to wind up.
It's going to be interesting. I think the Panthers could have a better year than people are expecting next year.
I think they're going to have a great year. Hey, look at John Fox's track record. Unfortunately, it's inconsistent and consistent at the same time. And the fact that usually he has a 7-9 or 8-8 season and then comes back with an 11-5, 12-6.
And once again, I've always maintained, I don't know where people pull this stuff out of their rear end. The fans are always saying, the Panthers don't draft well. The Panthers are one of the best drafting teams in the NFL. Wake up and smell the coffee, people.
Look at the running backs that they
watch
have.
Watch out for this draft. They could have a crazy year in the draft, especially if some of these guys get signed.
Their entire secondary, their defensive line now, well, except for tackles. Their
linebackers?
Almost their whole linebacking core, their running backs.
Yeah. Offensive line. I mean, it's crazy.
Now, they don't draft well in quarterbacks, so we'll have to see how that goes.
They just don't take chances on them.
And they've only done well once or twice, really, with Mohsin Mohamed and Steve Smith at wide receivers, so we'll have to see how that works out. But hopefully, who knows, somebody can shake out. Dwayne Jarrett maybe will come from the dead.
All right, we're up against the break.
Should we catch some balls?
You guys want to talk overtime when we come back in some NBA, or do you want to talk overtime now and take a break? What do we do?
We'll take a break and come back.
Okay, we'll take a break. When we get back, we'll talk some NFL overtime. The NFL Rules Committee is talking about changing the overtime format. It's not official, but we'll give you what they're talking about and tell you what we think about it. It's kind of crazy if you ask me. More Sports Out the Wazoo's coming back. 90.5 WASU, WASURocks.com.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Not happening. More Sports Out the Wazoo's coming right back. Back into the action with more Sports Out the Wazoo. Got an opinion? Email us at SOTWshow@gmail.com.
Back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located across from the Church and Center, 265-1886. What's going on over here?
Laughing like a bunch of schoolgirls.
I mean, I saw you giggling, Chris.
I don't know. Blake shot me a dirty look. I don't know what's going on.
When did I do that?
You know what happened. I don't even know what's
going on. You know what happened.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Okay, the other thing, we'll talk about this real quick. I guess overtime in the NFL, the Rules Committee, this came out of nowhere. They decided that they're thinking about changing.
With Roger Goodell, most things do.
You talked about that the other day. I agree with you. I think this.
You know what we should do about this?
Yeah. You know what?
You know what? This NFL season went perfectly.
This is
Let's
working.
Start changing.
He's
too
like,
well.
You know what he's like? He's like an interior designer who walks into somebody's house and he's like, you know what? I've never really cared for that wallpaper. Yeah. And you know what? That flooring, the hardwood.
Let's just start ripping
everything. Yeah, never suited me. And that sink, I like stainless steel more than I like porcelain. Let's take that out too. You think you own the joint so you can just spend money like it's nobody's business. The overtime rules. Okay, I don't have a problem with them. And here's the issue. Because you know what? If you're going to play football, you got to play both sides of the game, or all three sides of the game. You got to play special teams, you got to play defense, and you got to play offense. And so I don't understand what's wrong with the format now, but people say, hey, nobody gets
to give the other team another chance.
It's not
fair.
It's not fair. Yeah, life's not fair, people. Wake up.
Sudden death.
Injuries
aren't fair.
Yeah,
they happen, though.
When in life has anything ever been fair? So I don't understand that reasoning, but here's the projected rules, and I'll throw them at you guys. Okay, no longer, if you win the kickoff, no longer, if you kick a field goal on your possession, do you win the game? You can't win with one field goal. The other team gets the ball back. If they kick a field goal, the game goes on. Or if they score a touchdown, it ends. Now, if they don't score and you kick another field goal, first team to six basically wins.
Yeah, it's first
so that's
six.
That's the issue there. The other weird thing is, if you were, and this is why they need to look at this and examine it further, if you were to kick a field goal and then get a safety or a two-point conversion, some sort like intercept a two-point convert. Well, I guess that wouldn't work
because
you
score.
Yeah. If you get a safety somehow, and I'm not, it'd be tough. But if you got a safety somehow, you don't win the game. But you just scored 5 points. That should be enough to win the game. Agreed.
I think a field goal is enough to win.
Yeah, I think there's something special about having sudden death. The colleges got their crazy rules, but it makes it fun and exciting. I think the NFL
changes the game. You know, Yeah. That's not the way football is played for four quarters. So all of a sudden, you're going to put the ball at 25 and say, have at it?
Exactly. That's the college's, that's their rules. That's how they play. Their system works for them.
It's
but either
gimmicky
way,
is what it is.
Yeah, either way, the NFL, there's something special about sudden death. Because it's, all right, we've played 60 minutes. We're kind of getting tired here. Let's just see who has the most juice left. Let's see who scores a touchdown first. I think defenses are going to start to completely react differently.
No, I agree.
Because instead of saying, okay, well, now we can give up a little bit of yardage because they're in field goal range. Instead, they're going to be dropping back saying, okay, well, now we're not going to let you have a touchdown. You might see double overtimes all the time now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the other side of the situation is it discounts the field goal. Okay, if you're going to say a field goal is not good enough to win a game in overtime, eliminate the field goal, period. Yeah,
just eliminate the kicker in general.
Yeah, that's part of the game.
What if a guy makes a game-winning field goal in the final seconds?
That's my exact point I was going to make, Blake. What happens there? Because what do? Do you send the other team back on the field and say, all right, now it's your turn because he just kicked the field goal. And you didn't win fairly.
This is the whole the 5-year-old soccer team where you know they lose 20-0 but they all get awards. MVPs. Everybody's MVP.
Everybody's MVP.
I don't like
you're all winners.
I think no matter what, if you score, you score. It should end there. And I don't think you should put a limit on it and say, all right, first team to 5 or first team to 7, you got to do this.
This is Little League all over again.
And once again,
you don't see it in any other big sports. I mean, when you go into extra innings, each person has an inning, but you don't say, okay, well, this team hit a home run. Now we got to be able to have a chance to match.
Yeah. You do that in the backyard. You said, I mean, you do that when you're 5 years old.
That's backyard rules.
Yeah, it's awful.
I hope this doesn't come to fruition. I don't think it will. I think it might happen in maybe one exhibition game and they test it out or they see what happens with it. I can't see it happening in a hurry.
My only thing is, can somebody please get some handcuffs or restraints on Roger Goodell because he has too much power. He's
power
sapping all the fun out of the NFL right now.
I miss Paul Tagliabue. That's all I'm saying.
I missed Paul Tagliabue.
The guy had no personality, but I never thought I'd say this, but I do genuinely
have a good name,
miss that guy. The other interesting thing, I guess, moving forward, we'll talk some NBA. quite honestly, the thing that's up in the air right now for the NBA in the Eastern Conference is the 7th and 8th playoff spots. And once again, if I look at the way the conference is shaking out, I think the 6th and 7th spot or the 5th and 6th spots are locked when you look at Toronto, who's now 31-28, and Chicago in 31-29. Those are two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference right now, period. They're playing great basketball. They're deeper teams. They're more talented teams. They're all healthy. So I think
they could switch. Because,
no, they could make it as far as – I could say – this is what I'll say. They could fall as far as 8th. I don't see either of those teams falling out of the playoffs.
No, I don't think they're falling out because right now, like you said, they're too good. They're too healthy. And not only that, as – bad as this pains me to say, they're 4 games over 500, which in the lower brackets of the Eastern Conference is amazing. It's like having a 12-game lead right now.
No, but they're trending upward. Derrick Rose is
they're on the right
Noah's
path.
Out for 3 weeks with
that hurts.
He's been out all season.
That does hurt him, but they've been playing.
I just wanted to say that
they've been playing great without him. Flint Murray has gone in there and done what Flint Murray does. Yeah. That's why I don't get why the Bobcats traded the guy. But I mean, what are you going to do?
Tyrus Thomas was on SportsCenter with a top 10 play. Nice block.
Yeah, sour grapes. So here's the situation. Milwaukee, they're in the 7th spot right now, 30-29. Miami's 30-31 in the 8th. So the Bobcats are in the 9th spot. They're a game and a half back of Milwaukee, a game back of Miami. What two teams make it?
You know what? It's tough. It could be where it is right now. I mean, that seriously could be. Yeah. I mean, as boring as that sounds,
I think it's going to be that way.
The Bobcats have to have something. Something. I mean, I'm not giving up hope on them at all. They're a half game out. Really, they've got a tough test tonight with Boston, but Boston's kind of been sloping downwards as well. We'll see how this schedule plays out. It's kinder than in years past. I'll say that because if this was last year, 2-3 years ago, especially where they were playing almost all the games on the road and they're playing L.A., Dallas, San Antonio, Denver, all those teams all the way. I mean, that's the reason they're always so bad on the road. They're still awful on the road, which struggles. Yeah. They're still really bad at scoring, especially on the road.
8-22 on the road.
Yeah, and they're still bad at turning the ball over, which is a lot of bad things, but really that's nothing that can't get you the 8th seed still in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I think they can still eke in. They have to have somebody else step up, though. They badly need somebody. They can't really sign anybody now, it's all over. They've got to be able to say, but this might be a gut test for them. This might be a gut test for Larry Brown to say, hey, listen, We don't have anybody else. It's all us right here. There's no more changes. There's no more. Larry Brown's going to get in this guy, or maybe we'll get somebody else that can help us score. No, it's all about us now. Jordan, it's all on us.
And he made a statement to the media the other day where he said, "Look, I told these guys in a film session, you guys haven't played a good game in weeks. They haven't. They haven't played great since the All-Star break has come back.
I mean, they were once at the fifth seed.
Yeah, they were.
Fallen
we talked
four
about
spots.
That. The other interesting thing is, too, he made a statement to kind of light a fire into some guys' butts, mainly Steven Jackson and Gerald Wallace, saying, you guys need to quit whining. You need to quit getting so infatuated with the refs. Get back on defense. Quit getting caught up in all that stuff. Just play basketball. And the odd thing is, when I look at all these teams, Milwaukee's a lock to me. I think they at least make the seventh or eighth spot.
They're deep team.
There's a lot of talent. And what's crazy to think is
Miami's a solid team, though, too.
Yeah, they are.
It's hard to kind of push against them.
If Michael Redd was healthy, Milwaukee could be a top six team in the East. They're that good. And what's crazy is they're still doing it without him. You got Luke Ridenour. You got Kurt Thomas coming
off the
bench.
They have a better record without him than they do with him.
That's the way it works sometimes. Kind of like Tracy McGrady. Jerry Stackhouse.
Hey, you want to bring him to Charlotte? Then we'll take him off your hands.
Yeah. So it's crazy how good Milwaukee is. Nobody really knows about that team. Miami, I think, will sneak in because it's Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade's one of the top five players in the NBA, without a doubt.
And he's been there before.
Yes. Michael Beasley, he gives you production, but he's not very efficient.
Beasley's actually really struggled since
Dwayne. He's not a very good player. His assist-to-turnover ratio is about 0.87, I think, right now as well.
His points per game are about 0.87.
I mean, he turns the ball over, I think, an average of over three times a game. And I know he's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. But you can't do that at any level.
You know, take care of the ball. The jury's still out on Michael Beasley, but right now he is a very overrated.
It's up here for him. Now. He's got all the talent
in the world. He's got a lot of mental issues.
You guys can't see me, but I'm pointing in my head right now. He's got to kick.
I can see you.
You two can. He's got to clear the cobwebs upstairs, I think, before he can be effective.
Clear a lot of stuff from
upstairs. The Bobcats, here's what I'll say. The Bobcats peaked, and they hit their stride. And since then, they've now gotten injured. And they started. What did they do? I told you a couple weeks ago. I didn't like the trade initially. I thought they hit the panic button instead of saying, "All right, let's ride out this situation with what we have and go small for a couple games or a couple weeks."
And instead of going with the waiver wire too. I mean, they could have gone with that.
What did they do? No, they decide, "All right, let's go and try and hit a home run, and we'll get Tyrus Thomas." Well, I got news for you. Tyrus Thomas might work out for the Bobcats at some point. But what happens now when you got Nazi Muhammad and Tyson Chandler healthy, and you can't just throw all these guys out on the court at the same time? They lost their offense. And the other situation too is Gerald Wallace has played terrible since the All-Star break. The guy's been non-existent.
Yeah. And that's what I said too. Didn't I say, hey, if one of these guys goes down, right now it's Gerald Wallace and Steven Jackson and a little bit of a supporting cast. If one of these guys goes down, they don't have a shot in the dark. And that's kind of what it's been.
I was never fully I don't know what you want to call it, confident of this team and what they could do. And you were.
It never felt good.
No, it did. And I think even at times when they're playing well, I mean, when they were beating teams, they still weren't scoring. They're third, next to third. Worst team, excuse me. Two teams are worse than them in the NBA in total scoring. They're not good. They can't put the ball in the basket. And as rudimentary as that sounds, you can't just stop every team. You got to score at a certain point, and they're not efficient at doing it. DJ Augustine is terrible. That guy's season is over. His years as a Bobcat might be over. I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded in the offseason or they're going to keep him. He's under contract.
He's not in the system right now. No. I mean, he's not fitting
the problem
system.
He basically didn't tell, but with his play, he decided to show the coaching staff and the front office and say, look, I'm a score-first point guard. Okay, if you're going to be a score-first point guard, put the ball in the basket. He doesn't do that. So you can't have that mentality.
He's terribly inconsistent.
And you know what?
That's the problem.
We were talking about gaffes that Jordan has made as an executive. I think his major gaffe, drafting DJ Augustine in front of Brooke Lopez, because the Bobcats wouldn't be in this situation right now.
I wanted Brooke Lopez so bad. And I have to say, like I said, I would have made some of those same calls if I was GM or whatever making this decision.
It's hard, in hindsight. Yeah.
But honestly, I wanted Brooke Lopez in that draft. Right now, if it was my team, it would have been Brooke Lopez, Adam Morrison, Chris Paul. Those would have been at least the three. I miss on one and hit on a couple other ones. But I thought the Gerald Henderson deal was good, too. There's still time on that, but he's not the best he's looked is in a game of horse with Michael Jordan.
No, I agree. And once again, these guys aren't getting chances. I mean, I think that goes to show you what Larry Brown thinks of them right now, because they've got no.
There's too much defense. Gerald Henderson, defensively minded. Look at Gerald Wallace. Yeah, sure, he's been able to bring up the scoring, but more. rebounder, yeah. block shots, you be athletic. And really, that's been a lot of them. Raymond Felton stepped up his defense. His offense has started sucking up now.
Yeah.
As well, it's a running theme on this team, really. When you look at Jasenga Job, Tyson Chandler even, he's no more defense than he is offense if he even steps out on the court for the Bobcats. And Tyrus Thomas, you go down the line, it's nothing but defensive guys. And right now, Boris Diaw has not been playing that well at all either.
I think the Bobcats are done. I think I can see them hanging on. They're going to stay close. I just don't see with what they have and what's in free agency, which is nothing. I don't see how they make the playoffs.
Because right now they have to make a push of a 3 to 5 game winning streak at least, right? Very soon here. And I don't know if they can actually put that together.
With Dwayne Wade getting healthy, I could see him going on a tear. He carried the team last year, almost made the playoffs with nothing. This is why I always say Dwayne Wade should be an MVP candidate, because without Dwayne Wade, Miami is worse than the New Jersey Nets. I mean, they're the worst team in the NBA without Dwayne Wade.
And that's why I say he's going to be the offseason guy that moves. It's not going to be LeBron. It's not going to be Chris Bosh. It's going to be wherever Dwayne Wade goes, he dictates everything.
Speaking of LeBron, did you see what the Nets are doing? They're handing out reversible LeBron James Jarvis Hayes jerseys at the next home
game. I guess you got to do what you got to do to get fans in the building. The Nets are trying. Also, it's interesting.
They had Vanilla Ice. LeBron James. Toronto Raptors had Vanilla Ice.
LeBron James is changing his number to number 6.
He's big in Canada.
Unbelievable. Hear about this? LeBron changed his number to number 6.
I think there's something up with that. You don't change your number
you
just
read
for
into
number
it.
6. Yeah,
maybe
there's
he's
something
going,
more.
Maybe he's going to the Knicks.
That's what I'm saying.
If he leaves Cleveland, he doesn't have to file the paperwork. He filed the paperwork.
But I'm saying there's something here.
If you leave your
writing on a wall.
If you leave your team and you're in free agency, you sign with a new team, you can pick whatever number you want to. You have to fill out the paperwork there to change the number on your own jersey.
But do you think he's honestly doing it to honor Michael Jordan?
I don't know. Something's up. He's trying to get.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's trying to get
a publicity stunt or something. I don't know.
Maybe he wants to come to the Bobcats.
You never know. Anything's possible. Hey, Kazepas, your turn, buddy. Checklist time. We're going.
Come to the fight, mate.
Check, please.
All right, guys.
Make it quick, buddy.
Today, last year.
Wrap it up quick. Come on.
The Maybach Zeppelin.
Oh, the Maybach.
Maybach, whatever you want to call it.
Tomato
became
tomato.
Available for purchase. It's a sedan. The minimum price, $523,000.
Sign me up. I want one.
How much you want to bet MJ's got one of those right now?
He's probably got 3.
Yeah, exactly.
He's taking his little flighters around in his SUV.
Yeah. Today in 1875, the first indoor ice hockey game happened in Montreal, Quebec. So you guys know.
Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
Oh,
we don't talk about Canada anymore.
We talk about hockey, though.
That ship has sailed.
At least for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Today in 1931, the Star Spangled Banner became official. So every time you go to a sporting event and you sing the national anthem.
Took that long.
Just know that it happened March 3rd.
Francis Scott Key.
There you go. In 2002, the Dallas Stars set an NHL record with their 48th straight win. Doesn't happen.
Pretty impressive.
It'll never happen again.
Yeah.
Especially by the Stars, because they're just average right now.
Yeah. In 2006, in Tokyo, Japan, the opener of the World Baseball Classic took place.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I can't say that's a great thing, but.
All right, guys. My last story, and it's just something that just really eats at me. Justin Bieber. I can't stand the kid. Oh, I mean, he's really just becoming another celebrity. He started his career singing about love, which, you know, just turning 16.
Who doesn't these days?
You know so much about.
Yeah.
Teeny love.
Which he just turned 16 last week, but now he's already starting to sing and rap about his expensive cars.
Didn't,
guys.
One of the, what was it, one of the NSYNC brothers or something do that too?
Justin McCartney. Guys, he could just get his license last week.
You know.
He's got no street cred. That's the problem. I mean, he can rap about
Jesse
it if he
McCartney.
Wants. He's got no street cred.
Didn't he rap? I'm pretty sure that failed miserably.
It's so sad.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Should not happen.
Should
not be a rapper at age 16.
Checklist as always. Hey, NHL trade deadline came and went at 3 today. Joe Corvo, Andrew Alberts. Who else?
Let's see here. Hurricanes.
Aaron Ward.
Air on the side of caution.
Scott Walker. A whole fire sale. If you listen closely, you can hear the RBC Center going up in flames right now. Carolina Hurricanes.
Riots.
Getting rid of half the roster. They're going to have a lot of draft picks, though, so that's exciting, I guess, if you're a Hurricanes fan.
The future is in store for us.
That's exactly right.
Like the Nets.
The future's there.
We're out of time.
It's coming.
If you can't get enough of our loudmouths, check us out between shows on Facebook and Twitter. Head on over to wasurocks.com/sportsoutthewazoo to get connected. Also, if you miss an episode, you can check our podcast out in iTunes. Keyword Sports Out the Wazoo for Justin, Blake, Brandon, and myself. Thanks for listening. We'll
have
catch you guys
break.
On the other side because we got a week off. See you guys.
Yeah.
Woohoo! It's the heart of a champion.